Before we turn to the Word of God, as Pastor, I spoke to you all this morning at the beginning of this new year. Well, tonight I'd like just to particularly address the young people and the children here tonight. Be assured of my love and prayers for you this coming week as Pastor. The holidays have passed all too quickly. May the Lord go with you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord help you in the workplace, those of you who return to the workplace, and in the school. May the Lord do great things for you this coming year. Well, be assured of my love and prayers for you. Tonight you'll find my text in Job 14, verse 1. Job 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman of few days is of few days and full of trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Dear congregation, at the beginning and end of a year, many will be reflecting upon their lives, what they did in the previous year, the times of joy they knew, but also the sorrows that they experienced. And they will look to the new year. Certain ones will make their plans, where they hope to go on holiday, what they hope to do. Well, certain ones at this time of the year will reflect upon how quickly life is passing. The year has just flown by, and the years of my life have just passed so quickly. Well, as we think upon how quickly time is passing, how important it is that we know the Lord and we live each day at a time. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, we read, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We simply do not know, do we, what tomorrow will bring forth. Spurgeon wrote this, "Let us never boast of future days and years, or what we mean to do when we come to any age, or what shall be our position when we grow grey." We do not know. We must not boast of tomorrow. We know that one day, unless the Lord comes first, we will wake up for the last time here upon earth. How many people today woke up but will never sleep again here upon earth? They woke up and it was their last day, and by the end of this day they have entered eternity. At the beginning of this year, let us consider our lives. Let us be found looking to the Lord and saying, "If the Lord will." In James 4, verse 13, we read, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." If the Lord will. Now it is right that the believer, in light of the psalm, desires a long life to give glory to the Lord. But we must take one day at a time and say, if the Lord will. Well, here in this chapter, Job thinks of the brevity of life, but also the trouble that is found therein. And as he thinks of the brevity of life as a whole and the trouble that is found therein, he thinks of his own life. And here, as we note in this opening part of the chapter, before the Lord he pleads for forbearance and mercy. Just notice verse 3. "And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one, seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." And you note there in verse 3, you see, he's pleading for mercy, isn't he? And forbearance. Well, he speaks here in these verses of the brevity of life and the certainty of death. And dear congregation, it is important that we recognise these things and that we prepare for leaving this world. Unless the Lord comes first, we will die. Remember Joshua near the end of his life said in Joshua 23, verse 14, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." It is certain. By the end of this day, it is estimated 150,000 people would have died and entered eternity. How many of them will be going to heaven? How important it is that one is found trusting in the Lord. Well, without any further introduction, I'd like us to consider briefly tonight, first of all, the birth of a child, secondly, the life of a man, and then thirdly, the departure of men. The birth of a child, the life of a man, the departure of men. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Well, let's consider first of all the birth of a child. Man that is born of a woman. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 2 we read, "A time to be born and a time to die." A time to be born. There is a particular time. We often think of the entrance into this world at birth. However, let's just for a moment consider that life begins at conception, when the soul and the body are united. Interesting words in Zechariah 12 verse 1. "The burden of the Lord, word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." See that there? Formeth the spirit of man within him. And when? At conception. Remember those words to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 verse 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." The Lord knew Jeremiah before he was formed in the womb. And the Lord set aside Jeremiah, ordained him, sanctified him in the womb, life in the womb. And it begins at conception. Well, we think of the beginning of life. Well, normally, 9 months later after conception, one is born into this world. For some, they don't see the light. They're taken straight to heaven. But normally, 9 months after conception, one is born into this world. What do we read here? Man that is born of a woman. There's the birth of a child. We didn't remember our birth, did we? I remember when I was 7 years of age, that was one of my early memories. Another boy took my toy, and I wasn't happy. That was one of my early memories. I can remember other things on the farm, but I can't remember those very early days. We don't, do we? But we know we were born. The years pass. Though birth is a time of great pain for the mother, it is often also a time of great joy. And the Lord gave an illustration to show his disciples the joy that would follow a time of sorrow. And he illustrated it with the birth of a child. John 16 verse 21, "A woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." There's pain and sorrow, but then joy, often associated with a birth. How amazing it is to see a newborn child, to see the little fingers so delicate, so soft, to see the eyes opening, such freshness in the eyes. How amazing is birth? Man that is born of a woman. Let's never lose the wonder of birth. I'd like us to consider a number of things at this point as we think of the birth of a child. First of all, God is the giver of life. We've considered already that life begins at conception. When a soul and flesh are united, Zechariah 12 verse 1, speaking of the Lord, and formeth the spirit of man within him. It's of the Lord, isn't it? Psalm 139 verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, O my mind. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. John Gill wrote, the formation of man is not of himself, nor of his parents, but of God. Remember what Job said, the Lord gave. And we recognize the Lord is the giver of life. Man that is born of a woman is born because of the Lord, who gives life. But let's consider secondly, as we think of the birth of a child, man is born a sinner. We were born sinners. Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were and are not perfect. Why? Because of Adam, who is our natural head and representative. When Adam fell, all mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, fell with him. And so we read in Romans 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Verse 12 of Romans 5, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, Adam being a representative person, while he stood, we stood. When he fell, we fell. Adam was the head of mankind, and being guilty, we are guilty. And so we think of original sin imputed, put to us, that is the guilt of Adam's first sin, charged, and then original sin inherent, passed on. And so we were born sinners, original sin within and in time, found committing actual sin. We were born sinners. And because of sin that came into the world and that is passed upon all men, death was on the horizon. Born sinners facing death. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We think of the birth of a child. But at this point, think of the birth of someone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we consider him, he was born perfect, that he might live that perfect life for us, and that he might redeem us. He was born. The perfect one, the holy one, in order to save. He was born into this world, and death was on the horizon for him because of our sin. Oh, he appeared in this world to save. We read in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came, and are we not thankful that Christ came into the world on a mission of mercy to save us? We were born sinners. He, the perfect one, was born to save such sinners as us. Oh, it's the best news, isn't it? The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest news, the most joyful news, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Ebenezer Erskine wrote this, it brings the most joyful message unto lost sinners that ever was heard, that Christ came to save sinners. And therefore we should ever rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would we be if he did not come into the world to save us? Where would we be if he was not born at Bethlehem? Where would we be if he did not live here upon earth? Where would we be if he did not face death for us? So when we consider these words, man that is born of a woman, and we consider we were born sinners, are we not thankful for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless one who lived for us and died for us, so that when our days are past, we will go to heaven and be with him forever? Well, first of all tonight then, the birth of a child. What a precious thing it is. And we recognise God's hand. But we also recognise that we were born sinners. Well, let's consider secondly, the life of a man. What do we read in verse 1? Man that is born of a woman is a few days. You see, we're led to consider now the life of the man. And there's two things I'd like us to consider here tonight as we think of the life of a man from our text. First of all, man's life is of few days. And then secondly, man's life is full of trouble. First of all, man's life is of few days. There was a certain farmer. He lived to 100 years of age before he came to faith in Jesus Christ. He was then given 13 years, and from the age of 100 to the age of 113 out in America, not so long ago, he lived for the glory of God. Just imagine it. 100 years without Christ, but then 13 years with Christ, and now forever with the Lord. Well, he lived to 113 years, but how short his life was in comparison to eternity. He had many days, but in comparison to eternity, few days. It's my prayer for you children, the Lord would give you a long life. A life for him, a life for his glory. That's my prayer for you. But even if we live to 100, our days are few in comparison to eternity. And in comparison to eternity, we're just a few days away, we could say, to leaving this world. Our life is so short. James 4 verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. A vapour or a mist. You go outside on the cold winter mornings and you're breathing, aren't you? And you see a little mist appear. It soon goes. I remember at school, a number of us lads used to try and make this mist appear for a little longer. Who could have the biggest breath of mist, as it were? But it soon went. It vanisheth away. And that describes our lives. It appears, but soon it goes. And we think here of the brevity of life. Certain illustrations are used in the book of Job to speak of the brevity of life. And one of them is found in Job 9 verse 26. As the eagle that hasteth to the prey. You think of an eagle. It's up in the air, looking down for some little animal. And then suddenly it dives down, picks up the little animal, and then it goes. So quickly it's been hovering, surveying the scene, maybe for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. But then suddenly down it goes, and up it goes again, away. That's like our life. Suddenly we're here, and then suddenly we will go. Consider the fireworks that many watched last evening when I was fast asleep in my bed. Up they went, such a noise and display. But 19 hours later, they quickly went away, didn't they? Up they go, there's a big bang. And then they're gone. There one moment, but then they've passed away. Life passes so quickly. What is our life compared to eternity? How thankful I am. I'm going to be rejoicing with the Lord throughout all eternity. What is our life? How important it is that we know Jesus, that we have faith within, that we have repented of our sins, for any without Christ. Oh, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. We do not know when our brief life will come to a conclusion, but God does. Turn with me to verse 5. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. His days are determined, literally so sharply pointed. That's what the root of the word speaks of. There's no grey area, there's no question. Right down to the last second, determined by the Lord. You may think of going on a holiday and you get out the calendar and you begin to look at certain dates. That's the day I want to go and that's the day we want to come back. You look at the dates, don't you? Well, think of your life. It's all determined. The Lord knew the very moment of conception. The Lord knew the very moment of your birth. The Lord knows the very moment of your death. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we can go on living then for his glory. Knowing our times are in his hand. Why are we here? I hope you say it's for God's glory. We can go on living then, knowing our days are determined. He knows. Seeing his days are determined. Remember those words in Job 1, verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord have taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, do you find comfort in those words? When you think of death, it can be a difficult subject. But you'll go home to see Jesus when the Lord takes your life. The Lord gave and the Lord have taken away. When it's your time here, take your life and your soul will go to heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our times are in his hand. He gave us this life. He take this life. What a blessing to be a Christian. When the Lord will take our life, we will see Jesus. Now notice verse 5 again. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. He has appointed the bounds or the limit. It's appointed, decreed. Our days are determined, so is our bounds. We can't go over that limit. Now it's important that we have a concern for our bodies. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but it's plain it does profit to some point. We're not to be careless. We're to be wise with what we eat. There are those who focus on, well, we need to be careful what we drink, but just as much we need to be careful with what we eat, as we see in the New Testament. How important that is. But remember this, whatever you do, you can't go beyond that appointed bound of the Lord. Our days are determined. He's appointed the bounds that we cannot pass. Oh, we think of our lives so short, just a few days. I remember when I was young, I thought we would never see the year 2000. Now it's 2023, but even though we've seen the year 2023, just a short life we have, haven't we? Our days are brief. But let's consider secondly here, man's life is full of trouble. Man's life is full of trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now this doesn't mean to say we don't know joy. Of course we do. What a blessing to know the joy that the Lord gives. It doesn't mean to say that we don't know some measure of peace. We've known a measure of peace, haven't we? Those precious words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And we've known it, haven't we, to some measure. But our days are full of trouble. There's many a fall, many a valley to go through, many a storm to endure. There's fires, there's rivers of affliction, there's trials and there's pain. Our life is full of trouble. What a blessing to have the Lord as we face such a life. Yes, there are times of joy and happiness, and we're thankful for that, aren't we? But this world isn't heaven. As the Puritan made plain, our joys are interrupted by sorrows. And we find trouble and sorrow, and we find it all too quickly at times, don't we? Psalm 116, I found trouble and sorrow. Our Master found it, so do we. We find it. We wake up in the morning and maybe we're positive, optimistic. And we go forth, there's a, as it were, there's a skip in our walk. There's a joy within. We get to the workplace and somebody says something. And sorrow fills our hearts. We may wake up in the morning, all seems well, but by the end of the day, we have a pain. We haven't had this pain before. Our lives are full of trouble. I don't wish to be pessimistic, but we've all learnt it by experience, haven't we? We do face trouble so quickly. There's battles to face, and there's that daily battle with sin. And that brings sorrow, doesn't it? We find ourselves saying, oh, wretched man that I am. We find ourselves saying, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I think that? We find sorrow because of our sin. How quickly the storm clouds arise in our lives and the trials come over us. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of how blessed it is to have the Lord Jesus Christ to carry us through the trouble, to help us, to be with us in the fires and in the rivers. Where would we be without the Lord? Our days are full of trouble, but we have Jesus in our life. What a blessing. Well, as we think of our life tonight, how important it is that we seek to serve the Lord. Philippians 1 verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. He's alive because of Christ. We have spiritual life because of him. And Christ is the object of our life. And he is the end of our life. The apostle knew that. For to die is gain. Well, think of Christ. He is the object. Live for him this coming year. You trust him this coming year. Seek to serve him. And seek to serve him all your days. Until he takes you home. We haven't got long, have we? In comparison to eternity, oh, live for him, serve him. Soon these days will pass of service here below, and then it will be service in glory forever and ever. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Well, as we close tonight, let's consider thirdly the departure of men. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's implied, isn't it, that one day we will depart and leave this world. Job says in verse 10, but man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? You see that plainly, that the soul survives death. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? The body will be laid in the grave, but the soul lives on. Where is he? There comes the departure of men. Death comes. Why? Because of sin, the fall. For the believer, they do not face death as a punishment. What a blessing that is. Why? Because of Christ. He bore all our punishment. But because of the fall of mankind and sin entered this world and so death passed upon all men, we face death. a time of separation, the separation of the soul and the body. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God is judge, and God deals. There comes the separation, the departure. For the unconverted, at that time they will find themselves in hell. Those solemn words in Luke 16, verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. What a dreadful place. And the soul will be conscious. We see that there. In hell he lift up his eyes, the eyes of his soul, and he was in torment. What a thought that is. How wonderful is the gospel. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came into this world to redeem me. That when death comes, it will be heaven. What a blessing at death for the believer. They will go straight to be with Christ, the thief on the cross. He said to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a thought for that thief. He began the day hating Christ. He ended the day dining with Christ in heaven. What mercy, what grace was shown to him. He went to heaven on that day. Therefore come. Dear child of God, can I, with such a pastor's heart, conclude with this? When death comes, the moment of death, you will see Jesus, your Saviour. He'll be with you in the valley. I cannot promise you your mind will be clear in the valley. But I can promise you Jesus will be with you in the valley. And at the end of the valley, and the end of the valley is one moment, you'll see him. There are those, and I sympathize, who get concerned about death. The believer can be concerned about death. We heard on Friday, how wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan? And you may say, how am I going to do? In the swellings of Jordan, when I come to the river, when I come to the valley, how will I do? When death is coming on me, well, the shepherd will be with you. And at that very moment of death, rather than great sorrow, it will be great joy and happiness. Death for you will be this. You will be so happy to see Jesus. What a thought. None of us have passed that way yet, have we? The Lord will give dying grace, and then you'll know such joy. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed on that great day. In a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, you'll leave this world and you'll see Jesus. That will be death for you. When you die, straight away, you'll see Jesus. Are we not thankful for him? He came to redeem. He came to save you, so that when you die, instead of being so consumed in sorrow, you're going to be so happy at that moment. Let me ask you all, are you ready? Are you ready for the departure? Paul was ready. What do we read in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew it was revealed to him. The work had been done. His departure was at hand. One day your departure will be at hand. And when you leave this world, you'll be in heaven with Jesus. Philippians 1 verse 23, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. That moment of death will be far better. Do you see it there? When you die, you'll be in heaven. You'll be so happy, it will be far better. You may have the struggles moments before, hours before, even days before. But then, such a contrast, you will know. So happy, so blessed, so joyful at death. What a glorious gospel. What a glorious gospel that Christ came into the world to save sinners, so they might be saved, so at death their hearts will be melted in love as they see Jesus. As best as I can say, when you die, dear child of God, you're going to be so happy seeing your Saviour. Amen. Amen. O gracious God, we come to thee. How wonderful is the gospel. It truly is the best news we have ever heard, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Lord, we know one day we must enter that last valley. Valleys we will know all the way. But then we will enter that last valley, and how right the psalmist was to describe the valley of the shadow of death, that dark valley. But what glorious light will come at the moment of death. How happy we will be at the very moment of death. We will leave this world instantly and be with Jesus. The moments before may be so hard, but all will be well at the moment of death. We look forward to that change as Job looked forward to in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We shall be changed, but we look to that other change before then. Just in the twinkling of the eye, we shall be with Jesus. How thankful we are to love him, to know him, to have him. To have him in life, full of troubles is our life, but we have the Saviour who brings us joy. To have him in the valley, and then to have him the moment before death, and then to have him forever. What else could we ask besides? Help us to live our lives for Jesus. Help us to be lights in this world. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our final praise is Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verses 23 to verse 28. Psalm 73, verses 23 to verse 28. The tune is Glasgow. This particular psalm I first heard sung 30 plus years ago in Salisbury, Emmanuel Church. And it was the psalm that really took me. Precious words here in this psalm. And note those words in verse 26. My flesh and heart doth faint and fail, but God doth fail me never. For of my heart God is the strength and portion forever. Thou with thy counsel while I live wilt me conduct and guide, and to thy glory afterward. Straight away, after this life, receive me to abide. Psalm 73, verses 23 to verse 28 of the tune Glasgow.
Nevertheless, God's
Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.
Amen.